Good afternoon. The E-12 Conference Committee is now in session, and we call that to order. We had a good day yesterday. We walked through a good portion of the bill, just to kind of give you a layout of what we're looking at today. We will do a final walkthrough of the final four sections of the bill, and then we will be looking at the spreadsheets and getting a walkthrough of the spreadsheets. So, with that, welcome to all who are here again today, and look forward to the contributions later as we get through the walkthroughs. So if we could start with the walkthrough, please. I believe we're in Article 10 or 9. Yeah. 9 or 10, perhaps. All right. Article 9.
Madam Chair, Article 9, beginning on the Senate side, the first two sections on the Senate side modify the community education program for school districts, and it would provide that a district operating a community education program could establish what's called a community partnership coalition program to support the collaborative work of school organizations and other community organizations that deliver certain kind of comprehensive or wraparound services for children and families. And the Senate language appears on each of the first four pages of this article. And I should note also, perhaps jumping a little bit ahead, that the appropriation rider for these new community partnerships coalition grants for fiscal year 2018 would guarantee a grant of at least $177,000 to each of the Greater Minnesota coalition partnerships that were funded in last session's bill.
Madam Chair, members, on the House side, the House took a slightly different approach. A bill was brought to the House by Representative Haley, and I believe perhaps Senator Housley was the author of the Senate companion, that created a new section of statute referred to as the Education Partnerships Coalition Fund. And essentially under that section, what happens is the existing neighborhood partnerships are included in an ongoing statutory setup that creates a couple of different tiers. There's a Tier 1 grant for those ongoing neighborhood partnerships, those collaborations, and a Tier 2 level grant for those that are expanding the education, with the idea being that that as partnerships are formed, they meet certain standards and then move through the process, and their funding is then contingent on each of those tiers. Much in the same way as the Senate, the existing proposals, when you walk through the spreadsheets a little later, you'll see the funding levels compared. But essentially, the existing programs are funded in the House as well. And as I said, when we get to the appropriations levels, you'll see how those vary between the House and the Senate. Madam Chair, members, the next section is the appropriations section, and that brings us to the end of Article 9.
Are there any questions or comments, members, on Article 9, mostly the community partnerships? You might save those until we get to the spreadsheets then. With that, we'll start with Article 10.
Madam Chair, Article 10, the first section is a Senate-only provision coming from the agency policy bill, and it would align timelines and measures included in Minnesota ABE, or Adult Basic Education programs, with changes in federal requirements for these programs.
Madam Chair, members, beginning on page R2, Section 1 of the House bill affects the overall revenue cap for the state adult basic education program. As members are aware, this is one of the programs that has an annual inflation factor built into it. for adult basic education, the inflation factor is the lesser of the percentage set in statute or the average growth in state total contact hours over the prior 10 years. The existing statute has a growth rate of 3% per year, and as you'll see on page R3 on line 126.2A, the House is reducing that from 3% to 1% per year. The next several sections in the House and Senate bill are pretty much the same with a couple of small word differences. Essentially, what's happening here is the language referring to the GED, the General Education Development Test, is being expanded as the commissioner is given authority to look for an alternative test that would perform the same function as the GED. So sections 2 of the House and Senate align there, and sections 3 as well with, as I said, just a few minor differences. Madam Chair, members, then that comes to the appropriations section that we'll talk about with the tracking sheet. And then sections 7 and 8 of the House and Senate refer to the name change as well as repealing the existing rule related to the GED.
Thank you. Any questions, members? Comments? All right. Let's move on to Article 11. Mr. Arneson?
Madam Chair, can I clarify which provisions in Article 11 you want to include in this walkthrough? Most of these provisions, I think, are related to the teacher licensure bill.
So, thank you, Mr. Arneson. For today, I think we will set aside the teacher licensure, and that will be conferenced out separately. So then that would move us to, yes.
Madam Chair, members, there's actually one Senate section that is not related to the teacher licensure that's in Article 11. If members would go to page R23. And look on the left-hand side for the Senate language of Section 19. The Senate requires a report from the Director of the Appropriate Center for Arts Education about their progress in addressing the findings in the Legislative Auditor's reports.
Thank you. Thank you.
And, Madam Chair, members, perhaps easier than a section-by-section analysis for the provisions in the House Article 11 that don't relate to teacher licensure. Essentially what the House is doing is taking the fees that are paid, the license fees for teachers and administrators that are paid, those currently track into the general fund, and the House proposes to put those in a special revenue fund, in an account in a special revenue fund, so that the stream is more readily identified. There's about a dozen sections on the House side, but probably not worth going into what each of those sections does. Essentially, they all align the statutes to that new arrangement where the licensure fees for teachers and administrators would go into a special account.
Thank you. So it appears that we have included Section 12 then.
Yeah. And
11, yes.
And Madam Chair, members, Article 12 is simply the forecast adjustments, and these should be the same in the House and Senate. And essentially what they do for, it's been the practice of the K-12 committee and I believe also the HHS committee that for those programs where there's formula funding, if the forecast level differs from the statutory appropriation, the rules that this committee, the informal rules between the House, Senate, and the executive branch are that the funding levels should be adjusted to the fully funded levels, whether that's up or down. All of these changes are real in the sense that they change the actual appropriation, but the effect is zero when compared to the base budget. So there's no cost for including these appropriations. Instead, appropriations are adjusted up or down to match the February forecast level of what it will actually take to appropriate the right formula amounts for fiscal year 17.
Thank you, Mr. Strom. Does this take into account, then, some of the differences between the House and the Senate as far as recognizing some of the projected growth factors?
Madam Chair, I don't believe so. This is simply Essentially, if you look, for example, at Section 1, there were more pupils than expected when the legislature adjourned last year for fiscal year 17. So the appropriation for general education aid goes up a bit by about $33 million because of those additional pupils. And that's, in some ways, that's just a very technical matter because general education aid is an open and standing appropriation as well. But these changes should be the same for the House and the Senate and should all tie into the February forecast.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So, members, it looks like we have walked through the bill. The last few sections here went pretty quickly. But really, I think where a lot of the meat will be is in our tracking sheets. So if we could start with our tracking sheet, I believe, Ms. Larson, you can direct us to the sheet, the correct sheet, and then we will be glad to get through that. I want to get out our big rulers as well.
Madam Chair and members, the spreadsheet that you are looking for, I believe, was passed out just before committee started. It is titled 2017 Legislature Education Finance Conference Committee Comparison. It is this white piece of paper on the legal print. And I believe Ms. Adrians will be kicking us off. The spreadsheet should be dated April 20th at about 1:09 p.m.
Thank you. Ms. Adrians, or Rep.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just wanted, for your information and other members, I did ask Ms. Adrians to update that. And the only change was there was one line item for, I think it was museums and other educational organizations. And I asked Ms. Adrians to split out those individual entities being funded because we were getting questions, and I thought to make it clear for the public, I asked her to delineate all of those items. So that's what's different in the spreadsheet that was handed out today.
Thank you. Ms. Adrian.
Madam Chair and members, thank you. So we are going to start with the House recommendations. And again, I just want to orient everybody to the way that we can look at this. There are letters at the top of all of the columns, so that might make it a little bit easier to look at you know, which columns you want to refer to, and then lines on the left-hand side for each of the rows. So we'll start, and we'll just be going, Ms. Larson and I will just be going over the change items, but feel free to ask any questions throughout the process if you have them. So the first change for the House side is on line 4, the basic formula increase, and the increase was a 1.25% increase over the current amount per pupil of $6,067. So it went up to $6,143 for 2018 and then $6,220 for 2019. And then, hold on, let me get my ruler. So the amount for this on line 10, the increase for the first biennium is just over $207 million. And then in the tails, it's $295 million. Another change the House made is on line 11, and this is, staff referred to this as we were going through the language yesterday. This is the compensatory extended time program, and the amount for that in the first biennium is just over $22 million, and in the tails, it's just over $24 million. On line 12, this is the compensatory pilot project that had been funded, you know, more on an annual basis, and this just makes it more of a permanent sort of like being added to the formula, and it received a bit of an increase, and this is about $11.5 million in this biennium, and then just over $12 million in the tails. On line 13, this is the extended time Prairie Lakes provision, and that is $74,000 in the current biennium and $78,000 in the tails. There is an adjustment made for pupil transportation. This is the transportation sparsity provision. That's on line 14, and the cost of that is almost $11 million only in the 2018-19 biennium. On line 15, this is the general education portion of the voluntary pre-K repeal. So the amount saved by repealing it is $41 million in the current biennium and then almost $43 million in the TAILS. There was, on line 16, in order, and Mr. Sturm went over this a bit yesterday too, but we increased the operational portion so that we could take some of the levy savings from voluntary pre-K and recapture it for general ed spending, and that amount is about $4.5 million in the 2018-19 biennium as well as the TAILS. On line 17, this is just a bit of savings for repealing voluntary pre-K. These are the students that it would have been increased because of the formula increase, but along with the formula increase with the repeal of voluntary pre-K, that funding is not needed. So it's $702,000 in the current biennium and then just over $1 million in the TAILS. On line 18 is a the graduation incentives program, and that's $25,000 just in 2018. Now, if you will look down to lines 31 and 32, this is the non-public pupil aid provision on line 31, and it's $654,000 in the 2018-19 biennium, and then $900,000 in the TAILS. On line 32, the non-public pupil transportation, the amount is $627,000, $848,000 in the TAILS. On line 34, this is just moving that compensatory pilot program into the general education area. So it's not really a reduction to the program. It just is reflective of moving it from one area to the other. On line 36, this is the provision to add one-time pupil aid, and it amounts, it's about $6.8 million just for 2019. And it is not money that will be put on the formula, so it's just a one-time amount. And it amounts to about $7.18 per pupil. And I think that is it for the House changes for that top line. Ms. Larson now will cover the Senate changes.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I will now begin going over the Senate recommendations. Those begin in column N and go through column U. The first change under the general education program is a formula increase of 1.5% in each fiscal year 2018 and fiscal year 2019. This is approximately $91 per year, which will increase the formula allowance from $6,067 to $6,158 in fiscal year 2018 and $6,249 in fiscal year 2019. You can see this broken out on lines 9 and 10. In the Senate version of the bill, the Senate does maintain the linkage with compensatory revenue, which is broken out on line 9. This will result in an increase of $26.2 million for fiscal 2018-19 biennium and an increase of approximately $38 million in the TAILS. The actual formula allowance increase without the compensatory revenue included is on line 10. That is an increase of approximately $247.8 million for the upcoming biennium and $359 million for the TAILS. The next recommendation is on line 12. The Senate bill recommends making permanent the compensatory pilot project. This would be added to the general education programs as well as the shift, which would mean that for the 18-19 biennium, it would be an increase of $13.9 million, and for the TAILS, it would be an increase of $14.7 million. On line 18, the Senate recommends the graduation incentives program be included. This would be a one-time appropriation of $25,000 in fiscal year 2018. On line 19, with the Senate's recommendation to deauthorize the Purpich Academy from authorizing the Crosswinds School, this would result in some additional cost for the new students to be enrolled in regular school districts. This would be an increase of approximately $640,000 for the 18-19 biennium and $600,000 for the TAILS. On line 20, the Senate recommends a $10 million one-time payment to the TRA pension, and this would be tied to the sale of the Crosswinds Academy. If you move down to line 31, the non-public people aid, this is tied to the formula allowance, and it would see an increase of $221,000 in the 18-19 biennium and $118,000 in the TAILS. The non-public transportation is also related to the formula allowance, and this would receive an increase of approximately $751,000 in the 18-19 biennium and $321,000 in the TAILS. On line 34, you will see the compensatory pilot program. This was connected to line 12 as the Senate bill recommends to make that project permanent. It would take away the funding from the pilot program, which was built into the base, so that would be a reduction of $4.6 million in each the 18-19 biennium and the TAILS. And I believe that wraps up the Senate's recommendations under general education, so I will turn it over to Ms. Adrians, who will go through education excellence.
But before we do that, let's just note that I realize there's some different ways that we're treating the compensatory aid, and I think that's a discussion that today we'll continue to go through the sheets, but I just want to set that aside, and that's something that I think we'll want to discuss further, the different ways that the Senate and the House are looking at the compensatory. Senator Weber.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If you needed to finish up on that, I have a different topic I want to.
No, that's just it. And if there are any others, members, that you would like a further discussion on, we'll just start a list for those. Senator Weber.
I was just curious, Madam Chair. I noticed on line 4, the House and the Senate start out with basic formula different amounts that are different. And then even though our percentages, the House is 1 1/4, we're 1 1/2, by the time we get to line 8, all of a sudden our totals are the same.
Magic math.
Nah.
Or some would say fuzzy math. Let's hear from our fiscal analyst who can probably shed some light on that for us. Ms. Larson.
Madam Chair and members, Senator Weber, on line 8, what you see there is the base general education formula. So as you can see in columns H, M, Q, and U, there is no change from base there. So that would be the base from the February forecast. So the lines below that, line 10, where you see the basic formula allowance increase, is the change over base for each year and biennium from line 8.
All
does
right,
that clarify?
Okay.
Senator Weber, you get the award for sharp eyes. We want you to keep bringing those questions forward. Thank you. All right. Now we're ready, I believe, for the next section. That would be Ms. Adrian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Now, if you'll direct your attention to line 44, the change in the House provision to the achievement and integration line is a reduction of $285,000 in the 18-19 biennium and then $300,000 in the TAILS. This is because of the voluntary pre-K repeal. On line 46, this is an increase, a one-time increase of $250,000 in 2018 for the Ag Educators Program. On line 48, there is also a one-time provision for $1 million for alternative teacher preparation. On line 50, in civics education, there were no House changes to the 2018-19 base funding. But in the TAILS, that funding was eliminated. So that's the reduction of $250,000. On line 51, the Collaborative Urban Educator Program, the House increases the spending on that program by $440,000 in both the 18-19 biennium as well as the TAILS. On line 54, as staff went over yesterday on some of the cancellations for certain programs of 2017 funds, where then we reappropriate it in the 2018 for that year. This is one of, I think, four of them. It's for Education Innovation Partners. So some of their 2017 funding that they would not be able to spend is canceled and then reappropriated in 2018 just as a one-time amount, and it's $310,000. If you'll flip to page 2. On line 58, the House increases funding for the Grow Your Own Paraprofessionals program by $1 million in both the 18-19 biennium as well as in the TALES. On line 64, there is, in just the 2018-19 biennium, $2.45 million each year for intermediate school district mental health program. On line 66, an increase for the Math Corps program of $500,000 for each biennium. On line 68, there is money for the 2018-19 biennium, $50,000 a year for the Minnesota Center for the Book. On line 70, and I realized I made a mistake. I didn't change any of the line numbers, so they're all called line 70. But that's good because then it didn't change my other line numbers. So this is where Chair Loon spoke about how we broke out instead of just the one line of the museums and educational centers. So we broke that funding out so you could see what each museum or program receives. And the only changes that the House made to that funding stream is on line 70. it's the Children's Museum of Southern Minnesota in Mankato, and it's $50,000 in both 2018 and 19, and not in the TALES. Then on line 73, there is an increase in funding for the Principals Academy of $100,000 for both bienniums. On line 74, the House eliminated the race to reduce water conservation grants, so this provides a savings of $614,000 for both bienniums. On line 75, there's increased funding for the Reading Corps, also referred to as early childhood literacy, an increase of $1 million in each biennium. On line 77, this is the Rock and Read program, and it's additional funding for $500,000 in 2018 only. On line 79, this is a program that had been funded in the past but was not slated to receive funding in the 18-19 biennium, the Santa Foundation, so they would receive $1 million in 2018. On line 82, this is another cancellation in 2017. So the SMSU Special Ed Teacher Education Program would receive $253,000 of their 2017 funding in 2018. On line 85, the Starbase STEM Program, also a cancellation and carry forward. So their base funding is $500,000, so they would receive $898,000 would be the cancellation from 2017. So that on top of their base of $500,000 is the $1.4 million that they would receive in 2018. The increase in funding just amounts to just under $400,000. Then they would not receive the base in 2019, but then they would go back to their base funding in 2020 and 2021. On line 92, this is Teacher Shortage Loan Forgiveness Program. They would receive $4 million in funding in the 2018-19 biennium. And that is it for that, those programs. And Ms. Larson can continue.
Ms. Larson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. If everyone will flip back to the first page, we will start at the top of the Education Excellence category for the Senate recommendations, the first of which is on line 45, the African American Registry. The Senate recommends appropriating $264,000 for the 18-19 biennium. On line 46, the Senate recommends providing the Ag Educator Grants in the amount of $500,000 for the 18-19 biennium and $1 million for the TALES. On line 51, the Senate recommends an increase of $500,000 each biennium for the Collaborative Urban Educator Grants. On line 53, the Senate provided additional grants for concurrent enrollment teacher training. and that is in the amount of $750,000 per biennium. And line 54, as Ms. Adrian's mentioned, the Education Innovation Partners would be receiving on the Senate side an extension of their fiscal 2016 appropriation, and that would be a carry forward of $410,000. And if you'll flip to page 2, on line 55, the Foster Kids Educational Stability Grants, the Senate recommends $1 million in fiscal year 2018 only. On line 58, the Senate recommends an increase of $750,000 per biennium for the Grow Your Own Paraprofessionals program. On line 59, the Senate recommends providing $500,000 in fiscal year 2018 only for high school transition grants. On line 63, the inter-district desegregation transportation is one of the lines that was affected by the deauthorization of the Purpich Center for the Crosswinds School. As a result of that deauthorization, inter-district desegregation would be reduced by $1.7 million per biennium. On line 65, the Senate recommends maintaining the literacy incentive aid at the fiscal year 2017 entitlement amount. This would result in a reduction of $3.1 million for the 18-19 biennium over the February base and $4.2 million in the TAILS over base. On line 65, the Senate recommends increasing literacy incentive, the Math Corps appropriation by $600,000 in the 18-19 biennium and $3.5 million in the TAILS. As Ms. Adrian's pointed out, the museums and educational centers have now been split out on this spreadsheet. So on the first line 70 under the subcategories, you'll see that the Senate bill recommends that the Minnesota Children's Museum receive an increased appropriation of $118,000 per biennium. Of that, $50,000 per year would be designated specifically for the Rochester's Children's Museum. On the final line 70, the Works Museum would receive a one-time appropriation of $75,000. On line 73, the Senate recommends increasing the Principal's Academy appropriation by $100,000 per biennium. On line 75, the Senate recommends increasing the Reading Corps appropriation by $6 million in the 18-19 biennium and $12.6 million in the 2020-2021 biennium. On line 76, the Senate recommends increasing the recovery grant programs by $500,000 per biennium. On line 78, the Senate has recommended a Rural Career and Technical Education Consortium grant. This would be for one consortium in the 18-19 biennium for $3 million, and in the TAILS, that would expand to three consortium at $6 million. On line 82, this is a cancellation and reappropriation of the SMSU Special Education Teacher Education Program grant. $253,000 of the 2017 appropriation would be canceled and reappropriated for fiscal year 2018. On line 84, the Senate provides APIB STEM grants for $1.5 million in the 18-19 biennium and $1.6 million in the 2020-2021 biennium. On line 85, the STAR-based program, this is another cancel and reappropriate. So of the fiscal 2016 appropriation, $1.4 million would be recommended for fiscal year 2018. This is an increase of $898,000, which was canceled from the fiscal year 2016 appropriation. And that completes the education excellence portion of the Senate bill.
Larson.
Yes, Ms. Rep. Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can we go back to the first page and on the Crosswinds transition?
What line, Rep. Murphy?
19. Line 19?
Yes.
In the Senate you say there's a growth of, or there needs to be more money because of the transitioning out?
Yes, Representative Murphy, I think I'm going to have Ms. Larson explain that. It has to do with the students who would no longer be attending Crosswinds and where they will be attending. I think there's some interaction with this line and a line further down. If you could explain that, Ms. Larson.
Madam Chair and members, Representative Murphy, to your question, with the Crosswinds transition, there's a couple interactions. The first is on line 19, and the second one is on the second page. That would be line 63, the inter-district desegregation transportation. Together, these net to a reduction of approximately $500,000 per year. And so with the deauthorization of Crosswinds School from the Purvich Center, the students would begin attending, I believe it's St. Paul Public Schools and South Washington Public Schools. So they would return to their home districts, and under that, they would no longer receive the inter-district desegregation transportation aid, but there would be an increased cost for the general education aids.
Representative Murphy, that got to your question?
It gives me some basis to do something here.
Yes, something to cogitate on. But I will say this kind of snuck up on us, too, as we first were looking at this transition. And so it was only after we'd gone through it several times that we realized there was this interaction in the costs.
Thank you. Madam Chair, I will too say on the Crosswinds transition line on line 19, there is some additional cost for the general education portion of the students because there are higher costs associated with those school districts than with the Crosswinds Center. So there's a number of different things rolled into the general education formula. For example, compensatory is rolled in, transportation, subsidies, etc. And so with all of those different formula allocations, there is some increase over base for returning those students to their home districts.
Representative Murphy.
Madam Chair, one more question, Ms. Larson. Then was there testimony saying that there would be a different student body?
Ms. Larson, if you could explain that aspect of that, please.
Sure. Madam Chair, Representative Murphy, so it's not necessarily that there would be a different student body in the home districts. Those would be the same, but they would then be taking on the addition of some of the Crosswinds students who would normally be in their school district but had enrolled in the Crosswinds Academy.
So, Ms. Larson, just to summarize, it appears that there's a different cost associated with the students comparing their attendance at Crosswinds as opposed to their home district, and I think that's what we see in the interaction of these two lines.
Thank you.
Yes, Chair Loon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And if Ms. Larson could further enlighten us on this, I'm wondering if it's primarily the difference in concentration factor for the compensatory revenue, because I'm trying to think of what other revenue stream would be as sensitive to the difference between the school districts.
Madam Chair and Senator Loon, forgive me just one moment to pull up the additional documentation I received from the Department of Education. The majority of that would come from the compensatory revenue, but there is an additional cost in general to enrolling students in the South Washington County and St. Paul school districts.
Thank you, Ms. Larson. Any further questions, members? All right. If you didn't think education funding was complicated, well, you haven't been around very long, but now we've just confirmed that. Let's move on then to the next section, which will start with Ms. Adrians then.
Madam Chair and members. The next house provision change is on line 101, and this is the ACT reimbursement provision changing the reimbursements only and applying it only for students who would qualify for free and reduced lunch. We are estimating a savings of $3 million. On line one, for each biennium, on line 107, the savings under charter school building lease aid is because of the voluntary pre-K repeal. And that's $291,000 in the 18-19 biennium and $308,000 in the tails. On page 3, another savings from the voluntary pre-K repeal on line 117. This is under special ed. And it is $3.2 million in the first biennium and $3.4 million in the second biennium. On line 127, this is a voluntary pre-K savings as well. It's $121,000 in the first biennium and $126,000 in the second. On line 137, the conveyance or sale of Crosswinds, the savings that we are booking for this is $10 million in 2018. From what we have learned, it would be applied and we would receive a debt service offset, as was talked about yesterday, I believe. On line 142, this is a voluntary pre-K repeal savings to school lunch, $102,000 in the first biennium and the second. And school breakfast, there's a savings because of the voluntary pre-K repeal as well, $180,000 in both bienniums. And that does it for the house provisions in that section.
Ms. Lunch.
Madam Chair and members, if you will return to the bottom of page 2 on line 101, the Senate also recommends that ACT reimbursements be reduced by approximately $3 million each biennium and be provided only to students on free and reduced price lunch. On page 3, line 108, the Senate recommends including PSEO pupils in the calculation for charter school building lease aid. This would be an increase of $367,000 in fiscal year 2018-2019 and $443,000 in the tails. On line 118, the Senate took the governor's language, which would allow for an adjustment for programs that had closed or been transferred to co-ops. This would result in a reduction of approximately $738,000 in the 18-19 biennium and $786,000 in the tails. On line 135, the Senate recommends including Kelleher in the early repayment incentive aid. As explained yesterday, Kelleher was originally expected to complete repayment in time to receive the incentive aid, but they in fact did. As a result, the Senate recommends including them and increasing the base by $300,000 per biennium.
Ms. Larson, before you leave that line,
yes.
I think we're doing the same thing in the House and the Senate, but we notice that there's an increased cost on the Senate side for that same provision. I'm wondering why that might be.
Madam Chair and members, that's a great question. So the Senate and the House take two different approaches to that, and I can certainly let the Senate, or I'm sorry, the House explain how they do that. But essentially, the Senate provides Kelleher $150,000 above and beyond what is currently being appropriated, and I believe the House prorates the other districts that are receiving the early repayment incentive aid.
Thank you. Yes, okay. So the Senate keeps everyone else the same.
Correct.
And you use the same amount of money, but I have included Kelleher. Thank you. All right. Ms. Larson, continue, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On line 137, the Senate also recommends the conveyance and sale of the Crosswinds School. The net proceeds of which are estimated to be approximately $10 million, but that may change depending on the actual sale of the building. I should mention that this is the line that was tied to the TRA pension adjustment that the Senate recommended, and that was back on page 1 on line 20. So in the Senate bill, whatever that amount happens to be, that would be offset from the debt service and the sale of that building would go to TRA.
Thank you.
And I believe that concludes the Senate section.
Thank you, Ms. Larson. Any further questions? All right. I think I had one, but I'll hold off. Ms. Adrians, next section, please.
Madam Chair and members, if you will turn to page 4, the Family and Early Childhood Programs, on line 165 for school readiness, the House position increases the program $8.5 million in the first biennium and $9.8 million in the second biennium. The House also has a school readiness adjustment on the next line of $40.5 million in the first biennium only, in part to help offset the repeal of the voluntary pre-K program. On line 168, the House has an increase to the early learning scholarships, $24.6 million in both bienniums. On line 169, ECFE, it was delinked from the 1.25% increase to the formula, but then the House also increased funding for ECFE by about $1 million in the first biennium and then $1.1 million in the second biennium. On line 171 is the Parent-Child Home Program. The House increases funding for this program by $1 million in both bienniums. On line 187, and actually this is the Education Pilot Transformation Zone Program, and so it's on lines 187, 188, and 189. So there's increased funding for Northside Achievement of $200,000 each biennium. St. Paul Promise receives the same increase for both bienniums. And then the Transformation Zone expansion for the rest of the state is $960,000 for both bienniums. On line 193, this is the Adult Basic Education Aid. The growth limit that Mr. Strom referred to earlier, changing it from 3% to 1%, and that results in a savings of $2.6 million in the first biennium, and then almost $7 million in the second biennium.
Madam Chair.
Ms. Larson.
For the Senate recommendations, the first on page 4 is going to be line 167. The Senate recommends an early education access study. This would be a one-time cost of $75,000 in fiscal year 2018. On line 168, the Senate recommends increasing the early learning scholarships by $2 million in the 18-19 biennium and $5 million in the TALES. On line 169, the ECFE maintains the linkage under the Senate bill, and as a result of the formula allowance increase, ECFE would be increased by $2.2 million in the 18-19 biennium and $3.2 million in the TALES. On line 171, the Senate recommends increasing the parent-child home grant program by $1.1 million per biennium. And then on lines 187 and 188, this is part of the Education Innovation Pilots as well as line 189. The first line, the Northside Achievement Zone, would receive a reduction in funding of $1.2 million per biennium. The St. Paul Promise neighborhood would also receive a $1.2 million reduction per biennium. This money would then be funneled into out-state education pilot zones to the tune of $2.4 million per biennium. As mentioned earlier today, with this there would be a grandfather clause that would allow the pilot programs that receive funding in fiscal year 2017, I believe that was the Northfield, Red Wing, and St. Cloud projects, to receive $177,000 apiece in fiscal year 2018. And that completes the Senate recommendations.
And I might just add something on the promise zones, because it is a bit different than the House approach. What we did with the funding then that was recaptured and reallocated was to allow grants for other sites as well. So those have been highly effective, have had good results in a short amount of time. But the conundrum that we faced in the Senate was using K-12 dollars, classroom dollars, for these sites all over the state, as we think successful programs should be replicated. But we wanted to acknowledge those that have already been started and continue with that funding at 50% and then reallocate those other dollars so these successful programs actually have an opportunity to be replicated throughout the state rather than using classroom dollars for that. So just a little background on that.
All right. Next, Ms. Adrian, so what's our next section here?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. If you look at page 5 for the state agency budgets, for the Department of Education, on line 217, the House applies a general reduction to the agency of $2.3 million in both the 18-19 and 2021 bienniums. On line 218, this is a savings because an administrative savings for the voluntary pre-K repeal of just over $1 million in each biennium. On line 219, this is one of their several lines that will that are because of the transition of licensure fees to the education, the special revenue fund that the House sets up. And so this is transferring the Board of Administrators, their licensure fees to the Special Revenue Fund. So rather than going through the Department of Education, it'll go into this Special Revenue Fund. So it's not a cut to the program. It's just moving the money from one area to another. And so that's taking $462,000 from each biennium and putting it into the other fund. On line 221, this is a transfer of the licensing staff that currently help run licensure activities and moving them to the new board, the Pelsby board. So rather than fund them under the Department of Education, that funding will occur in another area. So that's almost $1.7 million in the first biennium and almost $2 million in the next. On line 222, the House recommends eliminating the regional centers funding, and that is $1 million for each year. On line 223, the House recommends removing funding for the School Safety Tech Center, and their funding only existed in the 2018 and 19 biennium, and that's $1 million savings in that biennium. On line 224, this is a provision to provide for Purpich Arts Education Outreach, and that would be $200,000 each year. Then if you'll look down to line 233, this is funding a portion of the fiscal note that we had for implementing the new Board of Teaching, so what we'll refer to as Pelsby, the Professional Educator Licensure Board. And so in the first biennium, it's $2.2 million, and then $2.1 million in the tails. On line 234, this is where you'll see the licensing staff that was transferred from MDE and placed under the Board of Teaching, which will be the new Professional Educators Board. And that's so the same amount, $1.6 million in the first biennium, and then $1.8 million in the second. Then if you'll look down to line 252, this is the House recommendation to implement an Office of Early Education and Development, and the amount for the director of that is $200,000 per year. On line 256, this is the beginning of the Purpich Center changes. So on line 256 is where you'll see funding in 2018 and then the elimination of funding after that to reflect closing down the school. There is, let's see, on line 259, the severance payment and required payouts that would be necessary in closing the school down, that costs $2.4 million in 2019. And then on line 260, the Department of Administration, there is money necessary to help with the sale or just what happens with the building, so preparing to sell the building. And then I'm sorry, I missed on line 257. It didn't get carried over into the change column, but there's an operating adjustment to the school, a reduction of $1.9 million for 2018. And that is everything for the house provisions.
Thank you. Ms. Larson?
If you could go through the Senate provisions, and particularly I noticed a difference in the funding for Helsby between the House and Senate version, and if you can explain what that might be when you get to that.
I certainly can, Madam Chair. So beginning on line 211, it does show that there is a reduction of approximately $5.4 million from the Department of Education base. I don't believe that is correct, though. The Senate did recommend maintaining that base, and then there's an operating adjustment down below, so you can ignore in column Q that difference. So the operating adjustment that the Senate did recommend was $2.3 million in the 18-19 biennium and $2.1 million reduction in the TAILS. That is on line 217. On line 220, the Senate did recommend keeping the Board of School Administrators in the general fund under the Department of Education. That also shows an increase from base, but that simply maintains the base. It is not actually an increase over base. Line 221 is the licensing staff who will be transferred from the Board of Teaching to, I'm sorry, from the Department of Education to the new Pelsby Board. That would be a transfer of approximately $1.7 million in the 18-19 biennium and $2 million in the TAILS. Line 222 and 223 also show increases in the base for the regional centers and the school safety tech center, but the numbers in columns N, O, and P are the current base. It shows an increase over base, but the Senate did not recommend an increase over base for those provisions, just that we maintain that base. On line 225, the Senate does recommend that MDE hire a dyslexia specialist. They recommend $247,000 in the 18-19 biennium for the dyslexia specialist and $259,000 in the TAILS. That brings us down to the Board of Teaching. The Senate does recommend that the base be maintained for the Board of Teaching, but there would be additional funding for the new board of approximately $1.3 million in the 18-19 biennium and $1.1 million in the TAILS. Line 234, you will see that licensing staff transfer from MDE that was mentioned above. That is $1.7 million in 18-19 and $2 million in the TAILS. Line 236, the Senate does recommend that smart services be used for the Board of Teaching, be approximately $268,000 in the 18-19 biennium and $300,000 in the TAILS. And then finally, on line 237, the new licensing system IT costs are recommended at $1.8 million in the 18-19 biennium. That work would wrap up in 2020 for an increase of $119,000. The difference here is that the Senate maintains that all of the funding be from the general education fund, I'm sorry, the general fund, and the Senate, the House, would transfer some from the special revenue fund, but the Senate will maintain all of that from the general fund.
Thank you.
Yes.
And further, Ms. Larson?
There are just a couple more changes. On the Minnesota State Academies, line 246, the Senate recommends an operating adjustment of $800,000 per biennium. And then under the Purpich Center, the Senate does recommend that of the center's current budget, $740,000 pro-biennium be used for the turnaround arts program. You can see on line 256, there was an initial reduction for that just to show that line 261, the turnaround arts program, would be specified there. And then on line 257, the Senate also recommended an $800,000 reduction per biennium for the center, and that was associated with the closure of the Crosswinds Academy. And I believe that wraps that up.
Thank you. Members, any questions on some of those change items or the differences? All right. Ms. Adrians, the next section then. Looks like we're into revenues and transfers.
Madam Chair, members, I have to apologize to Ms. Larson for that those mistakes on page 5. We'll get those cleared up and changed in the next version. So if you will look to the revenues and transfers starting on line 274, these are, so the first three cancellations are the ones that we referred to before for the Education Innovation Partners, the SMSU Teacher Program, and Starbase. And then on line 277, this is, and line 278, these are both transfers that would occur due to the closure of the Purpich Arts School, so money that they would have that they would no longer be able to use. So from the special revenue fund, it would be $220,000 in 2019, and then $11,000 from a gift fund in 2019 as well. On line 279, this is the transfer of the licensure revenue from the Board of School Administrators from the general fund to the special revenue fund. So it's a reduction of $430,000 for each biennium. A reduction from the general fund, and then it will be put into the special revenue fund. As well, on line 280, the same thing with the Board of Teaching or the new professional licensing board, a reduction of $3.7 million for each biennium. That reduction is to the general fund, but that money will be put in the special revenue fund. And then I believe those are the changes, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Ms. Larson.
Madam Chair and members, the Senate does capture a couple of cancellations from fiscal year 2017. The first is the SMSU Special Education Teacher Prep Program. It's approximately $253,000. And on line 276, there's also a cancellation carry forward for Starbase, which is approximately $898,000. On line 281, it's estimated that with the addition of the Tier 1 and Tier 2 licenses in the teacher licensure sections, that there will be additional fee revenue generated. It's going to be approximately $38,000 per year, so that would be an increase over base of $38,000 in fiscal 2018-2019 biennium and $76,000 in the TAILS. And I believe that is it for the revenues and special revenue fund.
Thank you, Ms. Larson. Any questions, members, on that? Comments? All right. Ms. Adrians, do we need to go through the general fund reallocation totals? Would you like to go through that?
Madam Chair, I'm happy to. What this on line 286, the reconciliation, is that what you're referring
yes.
to? Okay. What this does is it just takes all of the general fund appropriations. So on line 288 for the first biennium, it's about $18.5 billion. And then it offsets that by the revenue and transfer total on line 283. And then comes up and then results in the net impact to the general fund on line 292. So for the House recommendations, that then the total spending would be $18.5 billion, and this was the target that the House was given for 2018-19 biennium.
Ms. Larson.
Madam Chair, similarly, to Ms. Adrian's, you will see on line 288, the Senate's initial recommendations for appropriations of approximately $18.6 million for the 18-19 biennium and $19.4 million for the 2020-21 biennium. On line 290, you do have the revenue gained from any cancellations or additional revenues. That is approximately $1.2 million for the 18-19 biennium and $76,000 for the 2020-2021 biennium.
Thank you, Ms. Larson. Okay, I believe we're in our last section here, which would be the Special Revenue Fund. And you could explain that, Ms. Adrians, and also the numbers are significantly different on this, and so some explanation would be helpful.
Madam Chair and members, this also is reflective of the change that the House recommends in transferring all the licensure fees from the Board of Teaching and the Board of School Administrators from the general fund into a special revenue fund. I believe it's called the Educator Licensure Fund. So on line 301 from the Board of Teaching, the amount would be just over $3.6 million in each biennium. And then the Board of School Administrators, currently the licensure revenue there on line 302 is approximately $231,000 each year. And so the total amount that would go into this new special revenue fund would be just over $2 million for each year. And then the lines below just show that those same amounts being spent for those areas.
Thank you. And then Ms. Larson, the Senate approach, please.
Madam Chair and members, under the Special Revenue Fund section, the Senate did not recommend changing the structure of the fees for the Teacher Licensure Board. As currently, it would all come from the general fund. There is, you'll see on line 301 and 306, the $34,000 per year is for the licensure by portfolio, which was transferred from MDE to the new Board of Teaching / Pelsby.
Thank you. Well, members, we've walked through the largest spreadsheet. Now I believe we have the levy tracking to go through. And who is going to orient us to that sheet? What does that look like? I don't know if I have it yet at my desk.
Madam Chair, I can certainly orient you to that spreadsheet. So the spreadsheet we're looking for is entitled E-12 Education Fiscal Year 2018-2019 Budget, E-12 Omnibus Bill, House File 890, Senate File 718 Comparison. It is dated April 19th, and there are some shaded columns as well on that.
I don't seem to have the most current sheet on levies. If I could get a copy from a page. Okay, here we've got it. All right. I just want to make sure all the members have that in front of them. Okay. All right. Ms. Larson?
Madam Chair and members, across the top of the page you will see some letters indicating the columns, and down the left side of the page there are numbers indicating the row. Across the top you also have each of the fiscal years and the pay years listed, as well as the Senate provisions, the House provisions, and the difference between the two. The Senate only recommended one change, and that is on line 30, labeled referendum. And this is the adjustment for the Nevis School District to spread out a levy adjustment over 3 years rather than just paying it in one lump sum. So this would be a reduction of $50,000 for fiscal year 19, a reduction of $59,000 for fiscal year 2020, and an increase of $54,000 for fiscal year 2021. Altogether, that does round out to the adjustment, so that adjustment did not change. It's just being spread out over 3 years rather than one.
Thank you.
And Madam Chair,
yes, Ms. Adrian,
if I could jump in, our the line numbering on the House version is a little bit different than the Senate version, so our apologies for that. So the referendum line that Ms. Larson was just referring to is line 18 on the House version, and so that's where you can see the adjustments for the Nevis provision that were on there. And then for the House, the only change made was, as we referred to before, to offset the operating capital for the repeal of the voluntary pre-K. So the first area where you'll see that on the House version, it's line 12. On the Senate version, I believe it is line 24. Yes. And so it's $4.5 million for fiscal year 2019. And then you'll see that number again if you look down below at line 56 on the House version. And I believe line 59 on the Senate version. And so it nets out to zero so that there's no overall impact in the levy changes for the House recommendations.
Great. Thank you. Well, I believe we've got through what we had planned for today. We got to understand that here. That was like that when I was here in the House, too. I will say it hasn't been fixed in all these years. So, members, I believe we've gone through our agenda today. I should just open it up to see if there's any comments or questions that you would like us to cogitate on as we reconvene. Chair Loon will have the gavel next. But if there's anything for the good of the order today or comments today or questions. Yes, Senator Wieger.
Chair, I have an overall question. Does the respective leadership for the Senate and the House intend to have targets by next Friday?
Senator Wieger, I've been told that we would have revised targets by next week. Certainly we'll keep looking for that. I think, and that's why today and yesterday the plan was to go through the bills that we have in front of us, understand the tracking sheets. I do think there are some important things we can do even if we don't have those targets yet, and that would really be to discuss those items of differences between the different bodies, either a different way we treat the item, and there's some items that are new on each side as well. So maybe Representative Loon has something to add to that as well.
Sorry, I was conferring with my CA about what times we're going in on Monday to turn up. Determine meeting times. Could you repeat your question? I'm sorry, Senator Wieger.
Oh, yes, Representative. I was wondering if we can expect to have a committee target on by next Friday, if not before.
I think that's a good question. I am hopeful we'll get some kind of a target by the end of next week. I don't know that it would be a certainty, but I am certainly hopeful that we would.
Yeah. But, Madam Chair, just one observation. It looks like, each body is committed to 90% or more to the formula, and we each want more formula to the extent we can. A couple of areas I'm wondering if for some work groups there's a lot of stuff to resolve on privilege and crosswinds. I'm wondering if you're thinking of maybe a working group on that where some of us might be of help or others that may be on special assignment. Some other areas, too, where there could be some good lifts done prior to us all convening.
Yes, Senator Wieger, you're right. There's a lot of complementary and common things in these bills, and I think that really just shows our dedication to students, really, and flexible funding. And so I think that's something that both the House and Senate members are in agreement on, and that's what our respective bills indicate. We have talked about, as far as working groups, certainly the teacher licensure piece, breaking that out so that Senator
Pratt and Representative Erickson can conference out that. They've each worked very hard on that particular section. And so other than that, I think that those are the only groups that I recall us particularly talking about. But even in the provisions that are different between the House and the Senate, there's not a lot of great difference. There's maybe some different approaches in how we get to the same end, but I am quite optimistic, actually, about this conference committee. Once we get those, what we would hope would be more favorable targets, as we get a joint target, I think that's what we're all hoping, is that we get additional funds. And I don't want to speak for Representative Loon, but I know on the Senate we have been very dedicated to putting the majority of those funds on the per pupil formula. That's what our school districts want. It's fair. It's flexible. It gives them the greatest ease in how best to use those funds to serve their students. And so that's certainly where the Senate is leaning. And we'll let Rep. Loon also speak to the House side on that.
Yes, and I think, Senator Nelson, you've captured it very well. I think clearly we have both, you know, placed our priorities there in terms of funding all of our schools in the formula, and I think we share that priority. So I don't think there would be a great deal of disagreement over much of what's in our two bills, and the House would happily accede to the Senate target or something more if that's what we're given, so.
Thank you for the good question. Senator Weaver, anything else?
Just one more. Your comments on the pathway for resolving early education issues as we ultimately want something signed.
Well, I do think the four-year-olds will be the question that is not so much, I think, a difference between the House and the Senate here, but certainly working with the governor's office. And how can we best serve, make sure that we have as many of our four-year-olds prepared and ready to succeed in kindergarten when they get there. And I do think that's one thing that we should laud the governor for. He has been very forthright and very much a leader in pushing for early education and the value of having high-quality early learning experiences for kids so they are ready when they get to kindergarten to learn. And I can speak as an elementary teacher myself, and I'm guessing that Bennett could too. There's some kids enter first grade with some very monumental chasms in experience and ready to learn. And we should try to mitigate that as much as possible, and certainly that's what the data has shown. And the governor has an approach, one approach, over on the Senate side, probably, and we'll let the House speak as well. But, of course, we tend to have a more targeted approach, making sure that our resources are targeted to where we're going to achieve the greatest effect with as many students as possible. But I do think that's one of the areas that we will need to work very closely, certainly both bodies, but with the governor as well, to find how can we make sure that we all move forward on what is really universally pretty much realized, which is the importance of making sure four-year-olds are ready for kindergarten. So I think there's work to do on that, but that will be certainly with the governor's office as well.
Thank you. You know, just to add to that, I think on the plus side, there's a recognition of the importance of quality early childhood education, and I think in particular for those children, unfortunately, that we've identified as falling into the opportunity or the achievement gap. And so I think the knowledge that quality early childhood education is a tool for helping to close that gap is a priority that's been established, and I think recognized, and we continue to place an emphasis on it as one of the things we're going to try to do to close that gap and make sure that all of our children enter kindergarten on par with their more economically advantaged peers and ready to learn. So, you know, as we move forward, I think, at least from the House, our position is, again, focusing our attention and our funding on those children that unfortunately continue to fall in that gap and making sure we're addressing that with a laser-like focus and making sure we're getting all children ready for kindergarten. And so, again, I think,
you know, fortunately, we have a governor who has recognized the importance of early childhood education, as members of this committee and the legislature have as well. So I think in that spirit, we will find a way through this and find a way to make sure that we are focusing our attention on those children and making sure we're getting all kids ready for kindergarten.
With that, I think our business for the day, Representative Murphy.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'm still, we did the walkthrough and we find that there are definite differences between the House and the Senate on some things. And I'm still not sure of the lines of communication that people make. I've received lots of emails from people that want something and have testified in one house or the other, some in both, that want to make sure that their voice is heard. Do we have a plan for how public input is going to be received so that it can be on the tape or so that people can come at a particular time or not to address the committee? And also, do we have a plan to give input to what the amounts we should receive from the targets are? Has either of the chairs been told how to communicate our needs to the people that are making the decisions?
Oh, thank you, Rep. Murphy. Certainly, I am pretty confident that everyone at this table probably knows how to advocate with their leadership for that increased target. I know we've been pretty clear in the Senate on that as well. But to your other questions, we are compiling a list of same and similars, which I think would be very helpful, and that's a pretty standard procedure. And then I've also asked that we identify those areas that are different. There are some House provisions that are not in the Senate and some Senate provisions that are not in the House. And I think it's important that this committee have a full understanding of those provisions. And so we will be getting that as well. Regarding the public testimony, I think the thing to also note is that every item has been fully vetted in one or both bodies. So what I see, the big thing that we are truly waiting on as we move forward is the what we hope will be a more friendly target, a better target. That, to me, is the next big red box on my calendar, is looking for that target. And I would encourage all members to share with their leadership about what's important, why it's important, and what it is that you'd like to see.
I think Chair Lou captured it very well, Senator Nelson. I think we're all looking forward to having a target, because I think we could move forward with some of the decisions without much delay once we know what our number is that we're working with.
I think so. So any further comments or questions as we go forward?
I know you've...
Yes, Linda Wieger.
Staff just did an awesome job during our break in putting these side-by-sides together.
Yes. I do want to really tip my hat to the staff here. We could never do these things. It's amazing the ability to put all of these things together in rapid fashion for us, and then to understand really every dollar and how it interacts with every other line on the budget. As we saw today, what happens on one line absolutely affects, that could have other effects on other lines as well. So I really... as I said, we are so thankful for the staff who's put in a lot of time, a lot of times on weekends, getting things ready for omnibus bills and for this as well. Maybe this weekend might not be so hectic for the staff. We have things pretty well lined up here, and we'll get the sames and similars out early next week, I would anticipate. So with that, do we have a proposed time to meet?
Well, thank you, Senator Nelson. I guess I would maybe ask for a show of hands or
a preference among the members of the conference committee, just kind of comparing notes on Senate and House meeting times on Monday. The Senate will be in at 11. The House is going in at 3:30. And it's my understanding the House session is going to take somewhere between an hour and an hour and a half. I don't know about the
Senate. We don't know what's on general orders yet, so it's very difficult to say how long we'll be in session.
Right. I'm going to go out on a limb and guess people don't want to come in early in the morning on Monday to meet before the Senate. If anyone would love to, please shout out now. Okay.
And so, with members driving a long way.
Precisely. Yes. I think what I'm going to do is we'll go back and confer, and then please watch for your emails, but probably not until after the House session is completed. And if it looks like things could go longer, you know, maybe we'll push until Tuesday. If we don't have any new information, it may be all right if we push till Tuesday unless there's significant disappointment with that. Right.
Representative Lewin, okay. Senator Weber and I are on the Legislative Water Commission, which meets at 6. Okay. It only meets monthly, and for what it's worth.
That is helpful information. So I think what we'll do is, if there's any other considerations, please send them to Senator Nelson and myself, and our staffs will confirm. We'll try to come up with a time that has the least amount of conflicts, and I know it kind of throws things into a little bit of a tiz when we have to adjust for, you know, longer floor sessions or something. So we'll try to set a time that we think will be reasonably conflict-free.
Thank you, Rep. Loon and members. This is the fluid time of session, so we all will be flexible with that. So with that, members, have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. This meeting's adjourned.